Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we come on this lovely day to be with one another, to gather together, near and far, to be reminded of grace in the wilderness. Seal our minds from the tasks at hand, the busyness of our lives, the anxieties and the fears, that we may hear your word, a word of grace this morning. We pray all this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we're going to spend a little bit of time in this story in the wilderness with the Israelites, who, freed from their captivity in Egypt, are now wandering around in an unfamiliar place, longing for a different kind of place to call home. And it seems that things have not been going all that well. They're tired, they're hungry, they're anxious, and they have no idea where their next meal is going to come from. Much less do they have any sort of plan for what the future is. In many ways, any hope that they had after being freed from their captivity in Egypt has been torn apart. They've had enough. And they start to name their fears out loud to Moses and to Aaron. If we had stayed in Egypt, we would at least know we would have eaten. If God would have just killed us in Egypt, we would not die of hunger out here in the wilderness. Why have you let us out here? I'll admit, on the face of it, it seems strange to me. I mean, we all know the story. Their lives in Egypt were no fairy tale. They were slaves and under the brutal, unrelenting, violent treatment of the Pharaoh. They were forced to make bricks and more bricks and more bricks as the empire grew and claimed more territory and more land. Yet out here in the wilderness, with all its uncertainty, they seemingly long to be back in Egypt. I don't remember who it was that first pointed this out to me, but the unfolding relationship between the Israelites and Egypt is a fascinating one to me. Because if you remember, it was Joseph who, long before this moment, interpreted some dreams for the Pharaoh and warned them of a coming drought. When Joseph's family and kin migrated to Egypt looking for food and water, they come to Egypt, and it became like an oasis in the desert, a place of life and a wholeness. Over the years, the Israelites flourished in Egypt. They grew in number. They had tons of kids. Their population soared. It was a wonderful relationship between Israel and Egypt, it seems. But long after Joseph died, generations later, a new Pharaoh was growing nervous about how many Israelites there were, and he began to wonder if they would remain loyal to the empire. He did not remember or care to remember the history of their relationship and how Joseph had helped them along the way, and eventually he became so afraid of them that he enslaved them. And it's in that moment that this place that was once a place of life, this place that was once a place of sustenance and growth, became a place of captivity, a place marked by fear and grief and suffering. God heard the cries of the people, sent Moses and Aaron to free them from their captivity, and now when we catch up to them today, they have been wandering in the wilderness and are afraid, unsure of what is next, desperate for any sense of certainty about the future. Their fear becomes all-consuming, and they begin to say aloud, "In Egypt, we had our fill." Like I said, their response is always a little strange to me, because why in this moment would they be thinking of getting their fill in Egypt? But I think it gets to something about the difficulty of wilderness places. And not just the actual physical wilderness, but those places and seasons of wilderness that at one time or another we all find ourselves in. Because the truth is that being out in the wilderness, leaving behind something familiar, something certain, maybe where you had a sense of belonging, even if it wasn't good for you anymore, leaving that behind can be really terrifying. I mean, no doubt there are times when things that once brought us life, places that once sustained us and helped us thrive, no longer do. Maybe they even become a place that now keep us from thriving. Maybe they become places that add to our grief and our pain. Maybe they become places that feel a whole lot like captivity. Places from which we need to be freed. And that freedom, at least initially, can feel a whole lot like wandering in the wilderness. And the wilderness is the kind of place where maybe you are free, but it comes with a lot of anxiety. And you feel the anxiety of uncertainty or the pain of broken relationships with family or friends, with your tribe, your people, your community. The wilderness is that in-between kind of place between what you experienced as a familiar past and now you look ahead to an uncertain future. And whether you walked out into this wilderness willingly or unexpectedly find yourself out there, it can be a lonely and cold and anxious kind of place. So much so that sometimes we look back and long for what was. Even with all of its discomfort and brokenness, because at least we knew what to expect. We knew the language, we knew the inside jokes, at least we knew where we were going to get our next meal. Out here in the wilderness? Who knows? But let's return to the Israelites, because strange things happen out in these deserted wilderness kinds of places. For the Israelites, this wilderness place of uncertainty, anxiety, did not just stay a place of uncertainty, because it's out here in the wilderness that they encounter the living God, that they discover once again that God was in fact with them all along. And this wilderness place is somehow transformed into a place of grace and nourishment, a place of enough. Enough bread for the day, a place where they're invited to learn to trust once again in the grace of God. But it takes courage to wander out. It takes courage to wander out into the wilderness, to leave behind the security of what was, even if it wasn't good for you anymore. As Jen Hatmaker once put it, the wilderness sometimes feels very lonely and punishing, which is a powerful disincentive, but she writes, I've discovered something beautiful. The loneliest steps are the ones between the city walls and the heart of the wilderness, where new territory remains to be seen and the path out to the unknown seems empty. But put one foot in front of the other enough times, stay the course long enough to actually tunnel into the wilderness, and you'll be shocked. It's not the barren wasteland. It's not unprotected territory. It's not void of human flourishing. Which all points to me to one of my favorite moments in this story of the Israelites out in the wilderness. It's after they name their anxiety and their fears to Moses and Aaron. That maybe they could at least would have food back in Egypt. After that, the Israelites wake up. And in the morning, they see the dew on the grass. And as it melts away from the sun, there is a fine, flaky substance on the ground. In the NRSV, as Kristen read for us this morning, it's actually translated a fine, flaky substance. So they see this flaky substance on the ground, and they look around at one another, and they're confused. And they say, what is it? Do you see that? What is that? And the way the story goes, Moses comes beside them and says, oh, this? This stuff all on the ground? It's the bread that God has given you to eat. Manna from heaven. The bread of life, grace, is literally laying on the ground all around. And they can't or don't recognize it. Confused, they say, what is it? I mean, how great is that? How true is that? That sometimes when we're in those wilderness places, all we can see is what isn't. It's like that unrelenting presence of absence. And our fears and our anxieties give us tunnel vision, and we can't recognize grace when it's laying on the ground all around us until someone comes beside us, points to it and said, oh, this right here, this is the bread of life. This is grace. Thanks be to God for those people who show us that God can and does provide in new ways when we find ourselves in wilderness kinds of places. Hopefully not, but every now and again, we might just find ourselves wandering out in one of these wilderness places. And maybe it's because a place that once gave us life, a relationship, a vocation, a tribe, a church, even a denomination. The truth is that Egypt's come in all shapes and sizes and faces. But maybe we find that a place that once gave us life now feels a whole lot like captivity. And so we take those first courageous steps out into the wilderness. But when new territory is hard to see and the path forward uncertain, when you find yourself thinking, maybe at least we had food back in Egypt. If we had just had food back in Egypt. When you find yourself thinking, look around. Look around for that fine, flaky substance. To be sure, you may not recognize it. Someone might need to come alongside of you and tell you where it is. But it's there. It's there. It's the bread of life that God has given you to eat. It's grace to sustain you in the wilderness. And somehow,